At this time, let's all welcome Brother Brandon Starling. Tell us about spiritual death, Brandon.
It is always a blessing to declare what thus saith the Lord. And I hope as the word of God is declared that you have an open Bible to hear not what Brandon says, but what thus saith the Lord. And God bless the brethren at Highland Heights and their work. I want to call your attention to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to start my reading at verse 11. Colossians chapter 2, starting with verse 11. As Paul writes to the church of Christ in Colossae, Colossians 2:11, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven all trespasses. My friends, I want to talk to you about spiritual debt. Spiritual debt. Spiritual has to do with the unseen. Death means a separation. So there's a sense in which one can be separated from God in an unseen way. Meaning, in other words, you can be walking dead. Separated from God. Spiritually dead. Walking dead. Look at the text in Colossians 2:11. Reminding these Christians that in him, in Jesus, you were circumcised with the circumcision. We all know what happens to a little baby boy when the flesh is removed. He is circumcised. Well, the Lord paints through Paul, the Spirit through Paul, paints a picture of the Lord doing a circumcision made without man's hands. And in this spiritual circumcision, he removed not skin, he removed sin. And it's called the circumcision of Christ. Now, how did this circumcision of Christ take place? In verse 12, they were buried with him. When they were immersed under the water, baptized in water, the Lord performed the operation, the circumcision of Christ, removing sin from the soul. And then it says, in which you were raised. When they came up out of the water, they were raised with him and through faith, believing in God and the working of God. Who raised him, who raised Jesus from the dead. Now, verse 13 is what we want to really touch on. And you being dead, underline that word, they were dead. You being dead in your trespasses. Trespasses means that one went beyond God's law. We are under the New Testament. So when you sin, when you lie, when you cheat, when you steal, when you have dirty thoughts, when you cheat on your taxes, when you do all these evil things, you're going beyond God's word. When you fornicate, when you commit homosexuality and lesbianism, when you use filthy communication, you are trespassing. You are going beyond God's law. Hence, that means you are separated from God. You are dead to God. And Paul reminds these individuals that they were once dead. Now, I want to help us to see the origin of spiritual death. Come with me to Genesis chapter 2, and the verse is 16. Genesis chapter 2, and the verse is 16. Now, in Genesis 1, of course, we have the creation account where the writer Moses lets us know that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. In Genesis 2, he goes over how God created Adam and Eve. But in the middle of that, he mentions this tree. Genesis 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. You can eat of any tree, Adam. Verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall, underline this, surely die. You shall surely die. Don't touch the tree. Don't eat from it. In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, God creates Eve from Adam's rib. For time's sake, flip over to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now, the serpent, Satan, he tempts Eve to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 is where we're going to start. Genesis 3, 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So notice this. The enemy tempted Eve, and she partook because she looked at the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, and she saw that it is good for food, lust of the flesh. She saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes. And she saw that it was a fruit desirable to make one wise, the pride of life, the same thing Satan consistently uses right now and has used throughout human history. So Eve partook of it, and her husband, Adam, the man, he did eat as well. And the Bible says in verse 7, after Adam ate, then the eyes of both of them were opened. My friends, I submit to you that both Adam and Eve are now dead. They are separated from God because they have sinned against God. They have transgressed his law. The law said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, they partook of it, and now they are separated from God. And they see their nakedness, and they're trying to hide their nakedness. They're trying to hide their shame, and they hear God coming in the garden. And what do? They hide themselves, guilt. And my friend, from here on out, mankind will be born into the world and get to an age of accountability and make the decision to sin. Now, come with me to Ezekiel 18. So we have Adam and Eve first, and they are the first ones to be spiritually dead. Now, come with me to Ezekiel 18:4. Ezekiel chapter 18, and the verse is, Ezekiel, that great prophet in Babylonian captivity, prophesies, saying in Ezekiel 18:4, watch what the Lord says to him, through him, behold, all souls are mine, the soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine, the soul who sins shall die. Now, I want to let you know, if you didn't already know, And I want to let you know, if you did not know, that whether you serve God or not, you belong to him. Your soul is his. All souls are mine, says the Lord. The soul of the father, the soul of the son, the soul of the mother, the soul of the daughter, the soul of every human being belongs to the Lord. And the Lord wants to let Israel know, and he wants to let the world know, the soul, underline the soul. See, we are souls living in bodies. And when we sin, our soul is tainted with sin. The soul who sins, the soul who goes beyond God's word, the soul that goes against God, the soul who sins shall die, shall be separated from God. My friends, when you're separated from God, you are walking dead. You are not alive spiritually. This is a terrible condition. Is there anybody out there walking dead? My friend, when you're since you're walking dead, in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, the Bible lets us know that sinners are separated from God. And God, he will not hear a sinner's prayer. Oh no, he will not respond to someone that's rebellious and living in sin and refusing to do his will. Now come with me with that information in your mind, knowing the soul who sins shall die. In John chapter 8, verse 21, John chapter 8 in the verses 21. I need you to get this. John chapter 8 in the verses 21. Watch what Jesus says. John 8, 21. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Notice, Jesus is arguing with these individuals that refuse to follow him. They refuse to obey him, and he's letting them know that he is going back to heaven. He's going away. And one day they're going to seek him. But for those who refuse to obey the Lord, he says, and will die in your sin when you leave your body. When you breathe your last breath and you die as a sinner, one who refused to obey Jesus, you die in your sin. And Jesus says, I give you my word. I promise you, you will not go to paradise on judgment day. You will not go to heaven. My brothers, my friends who are not members of the body of Christ, or my brothers or my sister who have fallen away from Christ, you must live faithful to the Lord. For a non-Christian, you must obey God. The worst thing that can happen to you is that you leave this world, you die as a sinner. If you die as a sinner, Jesus says, I guarantee you, you will not walk the streets of gold. I know you've heard all type of things at funerals. I know you've heard that everybody is going to heaven, but Jesus, the creator of heaven, says that is not so. The worst thing in the world is not dying from cancer. The worst thing in the world is not dying in a car wreck. The worst thing in the world is for a human being to die as a sinner. But I want to help you this evening. I want to show you how to overcome spiritual death. Now, flip over to John chapter 5 in the verses 25. John chapter 5 in the verse is 25. See, Christ came to bring spiritually dead people back to life. And Satan wants to keep you dead, separated from God. But Jesus, this evening, he wants you to come back to life. He wants to bring you back in union with God. John chapter 5 in the verses 25. John 5 in the verses 25, most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he granted the Son to have life in himself. Notice what Jesus is saying as he's on earth. The hour is coming. The time is coming. But since he's on earth, he's saying it's now we. It's like if you're on earth at the time of Christ, you can decide to follow him at that time. But there's a time coming even in the future, which is even now, when the dead, the spiritually dead, those who are separated from God, will hear the voice of the Son of God, of Jesus Christ, meaning they will hear and they will obey him. And those who hear, those who obey him, will live. They will be brought back to life. They will no longer be separated from God. Their sins will be removed. My friends, Jesus is talking about the time in which the gospel of Jesus Christ will go forth throughout the whole world. And that's what you're hearing now. Come with me to Luke 24. Luke 24 in the verse is 46. Luke 24 in the verse is 46. Now, Jesus, he has died. He has died on the cross, and he is risen from the dead, and he is appearing to his followers for over a period of 40 days. And Luke 24 in the verse is 46. Then he said to them, speaking to his disciples, his apostles, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Notice this. Jesus said, it is written. It was written in the Old Testament, and it has been fulfilled. It was necessary for Jesus to suffer. He was beaten, and he had to take the beating. He had to have the crown of thorns put on him. He had to be nailed down to the cross. He had to die on the cross. They had to take his body off the cross when he died. They had to put him in the tomb. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And Jesus said, since he did, this was the purpose of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in verse 47, that repentance means to have a change of mind. Now that you hear about your condition, that you're separated from God, that you're walking dead, and you hear what Jesus has done for you, the gospel says you ought to have a change of mind. Come to repentance. Say, I'm done. I'm done with sin, and I'm turning from it. And when you are willing to repent, you can have remissions of sins. Removal of sins. And see, this is to be preached in Jesus' name by his authority to all people. Now, come with me to Acts chapter 2. Come with me to Acts chapter 2, and the verse is 36. Acts chapter 2, and the verse is 36. Now, let's find out exactly how to have your sins removed and how to be spiritually alive before God. This is what you've been waiting for. Remember, sin is the problem. Sin is the problem. Now let's see how to get that sin removed so that you can be spiritually alive. Acts 2:36, this Holy Spirit zooms in on Peter's preaching. He had preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. These are the ones that crucified him. Now watch this. They want to know how they can get right with God. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, here we go, men and brethren, what shall we do? My friend, whatever Peter is about to say to them, you have to do it, and the whole entire world has to do it. Verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice what Peter tells them. Remember, Jesus said, repentance and remission of sins should be preached. Well, Peter says it. First, you have to repent. You have to have your mind made up You have to turn from sin right now. Right now on this phone call. Make up your mind. You're done. You're done with sin. See, if we could go to another scripture in James 4, it lets us know that your life is just a vapor. You've seen people die around you. You've been talking to people and they're gone 1 minute. The time is now. The time is not tomorrow. The time is now for you to make up your mind that you are done with sin. Repent. And he says, let every one of you, everybody has to do this, let every one of you be baptized, fully immersed under the water in the name of Jesus Christ. It's by his authority, and the baptism is for the remission of sins. That's what the world has been waiting for. That's what the world needs, remission of sins, removal of sins. You don't need more stuff. You don't need more money. You don't need another person in your life. It's not about getting married and living your best life now. It's about you being right with God. And sin separates you from God. And God is giving you and I and the whole world the solution to the sin problem. Hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe that gospel. Have a repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, and you be baptized in water for the removal of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is eternal life. Watch what Peter says in 39 and following. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Notice, God is calling everyone through the gospel. It's not just about you. It's about your children and your grandchildren that need to be saved. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Save yourselves. It's evil out here. It's wicked out here. All type of things are happening. Be saved. Don't die in your sins. You're not on this call by accident. You're on this call because God has allowed you to be alive in your right mind to hear what he is saying before you have to leave. In verse 41, it said, then those who gladly received this word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. My friend, 3,000 souls were wise enough to say, I'm not taking the risk. I'm done with sin. I'm not going to hell. I'm done with sin. I'm not dying in my sin and being separated from God for all eternity. 3,000 souls had enough sense to say the time is now. My friend, do you have enough mental capacity, and I believe that you do, to realize that the time is now? See, we started off in Colossians chapter 2, and we focused on the fact that these people were baptized and buried for the remission of their sins. You know that you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. Remember in verse 13 of Colossians 2, he had told them they were dead in their trespasses. Do you know that right now you're still dead in your trespasses? But my friend, you don't have to remain like that. You don't have to stay like that. I'm pleading with you. God is pleading with you through the scriptures. You know, there was a man in Acts chapter 8, verse 35. And the Bible said in Acts 8, 35 that Philip opened his mouth, beginning that this scripture preached Jesus to him. He heard what you heard. He heard about sin and the consequences. He heard about what Jesus did on the cross and how he rose from the dead. And he heard about how to have your sins removed. And in verse 36, now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 38, he said, so he commanded the chariot to stand still, both Philip and the eunuch, and he went down into the water, and he baptized it. And as they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. You know why he can't rejoice? Because he's not dead anymore. He's not spiritually dead. He's alive. See, but he didn't waste any time. He said, see, there is some water. What hinders me? And the only thing that would hinder you, if you didn't want to repent, if you didn't want to believe. But my friends, tonight, if you believe, and you're willing to have your change of mind, and if you're willing to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God and be baptized in water for the remission of sin, you can be just like that eunuch. You can go on your way rejoicing. I'm hoping and praying that you make the decision. I'm hoping and praying that you will not remain spiritually dead. And if you are a child of God, it's time to come, and you have fallen away, it's time to come back to the fold. You know better. And you know God has brought you on this call so that you can come back to life. The Bible teaches us in 1 John 1:9-10, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. That you're a member of the church of Christ, the body of Christ, don't stay separated from God. You know you need to come back home before it's everlasting too late, before the one who has never obeyed the gospel, and you're spiritually dead. You've heard the gospel. I hope you believe it, John 3:16. I hope you're willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, and confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, Romans 10:9-10, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38, and then come out of that water happy, rejoicing, and be faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10. Love you. I hand it back over to Brother Brooks.